When I'm up, God is good. But when I'm down, God is still good. When I'm on the mountain, God is good. But the days I spend in the valley, God is still good. When it's raining outside, God is good. But even when the sun is shining, God is still good. When I'm healthy, God is good. But when I'm flat sick in my bed, God is still good. When I got money in my pocket, God is good. But when I'm broken, can't rub two nickels together, God is still good. Down in Orlando, Florida, God is good. But right here in Richardson, Texas, God is still good. He's just a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. I'm thankful to be here at Greenville Avenue. My apologies, as I was supposed to be here today, Monday and Tuesday, but there was an untimely death and a very, very close relative of our family, a former elder of the church I served, and he served as a surrogate father to me. His wife is a second mother to me. He passed away, and the funeral is Tuesday in Tallahassee, Florida, my hometown and our home church, and the family asked respectfully that I come and eulogize this great man. And your preacher was so beneficently kind to allow me to break this obligation. But just like Jesus, I shall return. And I'm thankful. If invited back, I shall return. Words are just not accessible to express my gratitude of all the love and hospitality and your love that's been without dissimulation. And your erudite preacher is just a gentleman and a prince and a dear friend. And I am honored to have him in my concentric circle of friends. Now, I am neither a novice nor am I a neophyte. I recognize that this is the night that the Cowboys play football. This is not my first rodeo. This is not my first campaign. I recognize that even though I might be an up-and-coming preacher, I don't stand a chance against the Cowboys. So let me do this. Let me move as judiciously fast as I can with frenetic speed. Let's see if there's a word from the Lord. But let's make sure it's not a Washington Redskin word. We want it to be quick, fast, in a hurry. But I do reserve the right for the Holy Spirit to move me to the contrary. Thank you again for having me. Thank you again for indulging me. And thank you for the way you have blessed my life. I needed this trip in the midst of the storm that I've been in. I needed this trip. I thank God always predestined within his providential schedule that he'll give us what we need when we need it. And thank you, Brother Gibbs, for the deposits you made into my life and my ministry and these great elders of this church, the great deacons of this church, the members of this church. Now, I've been here a couple of times. It's time for y'all to come to Florida. It's the same distance, you know. It ain't no longer to go there. But I am thoroughly pleased to have been here twice in 1 year. And when the archives of the Greenville Church of Christ are written, when the history books are recorded, and when all matters of human nature have been consummated. I think when you read the history of the Greenville Church, it would have to be said that very few preachers were invited twice in the same year. And you're going to have to put my name down as one of those preachers. And so thank you, my dear friend and Sister Gibbs, your family, your daughters, and of course, your son-in-law, Brother Bradshaw, and all your family has just been exceptionally kind to me. And thank you, Greenville Avenue. There was even a great basket, fruit basket, in my room. And I didn't have no better sense about 1 o'clock this morning to break into it. I mean, Don't tie it up so tight next time. Yeah, I mean, but that basket almost had to get the FBI to get in it. They tied it up real different. It's fresh, boy, and it's tied up well. But I am thankful, man. You all really know how to make a preacher feel good. Beloved, consider with me, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I just need one verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Consider with me verse number 7. Y'all know what I want to talk to you tonight from a theme? The three things that every church needs. There's three things, at least three things, that every church needs. It's right here in verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's the three things every church needs. Power, love, and good sense. Y'all done got quiet over here. Every church needs power, love, and just good old everyday sense. That's what a sound mind is. Tonight, beloved, it is always a privilege and a pleasure to read from the majestic pen of the great apostolos of old, the former Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. You know by now he hails from the tribe of Benjamin. He comes with impeccable credentials. His resume and dossier is complete. He comes from the tribe of Benjamin. No doubt went to the school of rabbis at the University of Damascus. He spoke several languages fluently, had diversity in his preaching, had the ability to speak and preach to the philosophical Greeks as they sit around the Parthenons in Athens. And yet he could still talk and preach to the vagabond Jews who were at Jerusalem. Paul, in his infinite wisdom, deposited his unique personality and style into two young apprentices, two young proteges, two young Padawans, Timothy and Titus, because Paul did something that all preachers ought to learn how to do. Before God close your eyes and we leave this old world, you ought to find somebody that you can pass the baton to while you're still running this race. One of the greatest tragedies that a preacher can ever make in life is to preach 30, 40, 50 years, die, and in the casket with him is the baton he never passed on. We can't be so full of ourselves and have so much narcissism that we don't want anybody to get any glory while we're preaching. Matter of fact, the glory don't come to us. The glory belongs to God. And so Paul, like all preachers, when you recognize that you have more days behind you than you have available in front of you, when you recognize you have more yesterdays than you do tomorrows, you ought to find somebody, whether you're a preacher, a parent, a leader, or just a human being, find somebody who's coming behind you and give them the knowledge and wisdom God gave you. He gave it to you so you can give it to somebody else. You ain't got to say nothing, it's still right. Let me move so fast as I can so you can get to Prescott, Zeke Elliott. Say amen when you can. The Cowboys are soaring now, ain't it? They were strolling a little while ago, but they soaring now. Y'all ain't going to miss no games now, are you? But I came by to tell you Before there was a Dallas Cowboys, there was Jesus Christ. Before there was a Super Bowl, there was a Super Christ. And we ought to always pay homage to him before anybody else. The three things is right in this verse. I ain't hopping over the Bible. Just give me a few phonetic moments. Three things Paul said to Timothy that all of us need: power, love, and good sense. He says you ought to have power. You ought to have some dunamis, where we get our word dynamite from. The Church of Christ, I believe and I'm afraid, is starting to lose some of our power. We got this powerful gospel and dynamite gospel if we are the church of our Lord. And since we have this dynamite gospel, we ought not have no firecracker churches. Y'all say amen whenever you can. Paul said before he gave him the three things, he said, first of all, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Whatever you do, you cannot operate effectively and efficiently for God when you're scared. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Matter of fact, beloved, I'm sure Gibbs has informed you that exactly 365 times in the Bible, the word says, fear not or don't be afraid. Exactly 365 times in the Bible, the word says, fear not or don't be afraid. Y'all slow around here. I'm going to give you one more chance. Exactly 365 times in the Bible, the word says, fear not or don't be afraid. What God is telling us in his infinite wisdom, he gave the church a fear not for every day of the year. So if you're scared tonight, it didn't come from God. Matter of fact, young people, I'm like Bone Crusher. We ain't never scared. Since I'm in the doghouse, I might as well bark. Woof! He gave us power. Every church needs dunamis. Because everything that God does, he operates in power. There's power in his blood. There's power in his name. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So tonight you heard of black power. You heard of white power. You heard of green power. You heard of red power. You heard of atomic power. You heard of nuclear power. You heard of solar power. You heard of wind power. You heard of steam power. You might have heard of horsepower. You heard of manpower. You heard of demonic power. You heard of angelic power. But there's another power called all power, and God's got all power in his hand. If you don't believe God's got all power, ask Noah. Noah tell you he's got ark building power. If you don't believe God's got all power, ask Balaam. Balaam will tell you he's got donkey talking power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Moses. Moses will tell you he's got bush burning power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Pharaoh. Pharaoh will tell you he's got sea opening power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Jonah. Jonah will tell you he's got whale conquering power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask David. David will tell you he's got giant killing power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask the three Hebrew boys. They'll tell you he's got fire extinguishing power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Daniel. Daniel will tell you he's got lion taming power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Nehemiah. Nehemiah will tell you he's got wall building power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Hezekiah. Hezekiah will tell you he's got life extending power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Ezekiel. Ezekiel will tell you he's got bone shaking power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask the disciples. The disciples will tell you he got water in the wine power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask blind Bartimaeus. He'll tell you he's got eye opening power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Paul and Silas. They'll tell you he's got jailbreaking power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask the woman with the issue of blood. She'll tell you he's got healing power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Lazarus. Lazarus will tell you he's got raising the dead power. If you don't believe he's got all power, ask Satan. Satan will tell you he's got resurrection power. And since they ain't here, ask me. He's got soul-saving power. I say he's got all power. And he gave that power to us. See, there's some things only God can do. You don't need God's help to cut your grass, but you need God's help to stop smoking grass. You don't need God's help to get married, but Lord knows you need his help to stay married. Come on now, where the real people at in here? You don't need God's help to have a baby, but you need his help to raise a child. You don't need God's help to buy a house, but you need his help to turn your house into a home. See, there's some things only God can do. God's got all power. And Paul said to Timothy, he's just given it to us. Listen, quit asking God for what he's already given. Sometimes we are praying for stuff. God is, I was preaching, I don't know if I told you all this last time I was here. A few years ago, I got invited to Bermuda to preach. I'd never been to Bermuda, so I got invited. Gibbs, you been there? Brighton Heights Church. They told me you were there, and I said, everywhere I go, Gibbs been there already. He's like the Lord. Everywhere you go, he's been. I got invited to Bermuda, and I've been all over the United States, so I thought it'd be cool to go to Bermuda. And so, you know, Bermuda's a tiny island in east headed toward Europe, and you got to go about 1,200 miles off of North Carolina, out there, small little island. And when I got invited, I called my secretary. I said, listen, my passport is expired. I need a new one. I got to go to Bermuda. And she ordered me a new passport, called me one day and said, preacher, you want the book or you want the card? I said, which one's the cheapest? She said, the card. I said, well, get me the card. Come on, let me tell you something. Sometime when you're trying to save $42, you end up spending $500. She bought me the card. I'm thinking there ain't no difference. So I get the card. I go to the airport. I'm flying to start the meeting on Wednesday night. Going to preach through Sunday. I get to the Orlando airport. And the lady behind the counter said, well, sir, you flying to Miami and from Miami to Bermuda, but you ain't going to Bermuda. I said, why? You know, and that old Leonard started to get up, and my voice started to get a little high. And she said, I'm going to call the police. I said, call the popo. I don't care. I said, why? She said, you don't have a passport. I said, yes, did you hear this? She said, that's good for boats only. She said, you bought the cheap one, but you need the book. She said, but the good news is you're going to Miami. And Miami is the national headquarters for passports. So I fly to Miami. I call my good friend Alvin Daniels, minister of the Hope Church of Christ. He takes me downtown, and they rush and expedite my order. But they say it's going to be 36 hours before you can get this. I call Bermuda, and they arrange me to start preaching on Friday instead of Wednesday. And I preach Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and preach on Monday, left on Tuesday. While there, instead of getting a hotel, Daniel said to me, preacher, don't go stay at the Holiday Inn. Stay at my house. And I stayed at his house. His wife and family are so nice. And that's when I found out about Keurig machines. I've been buying $7 Starbucks. And he had a big Keurig on his counter. And there's a big Cadillac Keurig with bells and whistles. And he is making coffee, and I started making coffee. I drank him out of coffee and home while I was there. So before I left, don't get lost in the story. Quit asking God for what you already got. Before I left, I said to his wife and my wife are friends, I took a picture, and I said, now tell Pam, that's my wife, to buy me one of these. When I get back from Bermuda, tell her to have me one of these Keurig machines. And I went over, preached, and baptized some folk, got back. Sure enough, when I got home, there's a big Keurig machine. My wife kissed me and brought me in. She said, here's the Keurig. Bells and whistles. Rolls Royce. Made me some coffee. And she said, but I got to tell you something. I said, what, baby? She said, that machine been sitting there for 3 years. I was asking for what I, y'all not hear what I'm saying? I already had what I was asking for. But I want y'all to think I'm totally retarded. The reason I didn't see it, she got a George Foreman grill and three or four blenders on the counter. I just never noticed it. But the point is, here I was asking for something that I already had. And it's time for the church to quit asking God for stuff that God has already given. God doesn't want to give us power. The Bible said he has already given us power. We just need to access the power that he's already given us. Three things we need. We need power. And then Paul said we need love. Love is that 20 megaton bomb, our weapon of mass destruction. You got to learn how to love everybody in every church. Some people, it's hard to love. I know it, y'all ain't got none in Greenville, but down there in Orlando, there's some folk it's even hard to like. Preach, Brother Leonard. We're the real people. There's some folk, it take all the gods you got, and you got to borrow somebody else's God. They're just hard. They're just everything about them is difficult. Say amen when you can. But that's how we are to God. 2 John 2:19, you remember, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And you got to learn in every church, not only you need power, but you need love. You got to love some people in spite of. Say amen. Not just because of. And the difficult people in a church are really good for a church because they keep you praying. Say amen when you can. You got to ask God for help in the parking lot to deal with them. Lord, I'm going in there. Now, she ain't spoke to me the last two Sundays, and I got to speak to this woman, and you know she don't like me, Lord. And I just, sometimes you got to ask God to help you love people. Because here's the coup de grace. We need each other. We got to love each other. Everybody needs somebody. The Lone Ranger needed Tonto. Batman needed Robin. James West needed Artemis Gordon. You got to be over 50 to know this stuff. Romeo needed Juliet. And the Griffin needed Bonnie Fife. Bonnie needed Clyde. Tarzan needed Jane. Ozzy needed Harriet. George Jefferson needed Wheezy. Peaches needed Herb. Starsky needed Hutch. Jay-Z needs Beyonce. Michael Jordan needed Scottie Pippen. I need God, you need God, but we need each other. There's an old African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. You see, we need each other in this journey. Love is vital. Every church needs power. But I have to commend y'all, and y'all remind me of back home. I feel the love at Greenville Avenue. And if y'all faking, just fake for about 20 more minutes. Say amen when you can. I'll be out of here. But I think it's real. I feel like y'all really love each other, and subsequently, y'all love me. Every church needs love. It's been stated since I've been here that I used to be a DJ. And I remember spinning records. Now, I was a DJ. That's back when DJs were DJs. That's back when you had turntables. Not this electronic downloaded music that you hit a button and play. I had to go in a crate and find an album. Come on, old folks, amen. Young folk, music used to come on wax. You had to put it on a turntable and put a needle on it. And when I was DJing, you couldn't dance too close to the DJ's table. You'll make me scratch my record. Come on now. Are y'all old enough to remember? And when you scratch my record, I had to take a quarter and put on the needle. Oh, come on, old folk. That's when music came in all kind of speed. 33, 45, 78. Come on now. Wasn't no cassettes, wasn't no CDs and DVDs, and it wasn't no prefab music. You took a request, you got the music, you played it, and I had a microphone in my hand. That's like when the DJs talked to the people. I was a bad DJ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Our boys don't play no jive. Bing, bing, bang, bang. Got to get the boomerang. Humbiawa, black power. What you gonna do? Boston Booga. I was a bad man. I was a DJ extraordinaire. My handle on the radio was AD. AD show on your radio, batting the breeze, 75 degrees. But I remember distinctly in my old life, that's before Christ. And all of us got it before Christ. Say amen if you can. Huh? And I'm so glad God took that skill, that ability, for me to be articulate and pontificate and to influence folk through music. God took that ability and put me in a Bible, and now I can take God's word and still entertain, but in my entertainment, I'm bringing people to Jesus Christ. I remember back when music was music. We had sure enough love songs. Wasn't nobody singing about shooting nobody and cutting nobody. Say amen when you can. Back then, they were love songs. Y'all remember? I only think of you on two occasions. Both day. I see y'all ain't been saved all y'all life either. I found love on a two-way street. But I lost it. Come on now. Come on now. Yeah. Y'all remember, in loving you is wrong. Y'all just not got baptized, are they? If being right means being without you, I'd rather do a wrong. It's a thin line. Y'all done got real quiet on me now. Love is vital. There used to be a song Donna Ross sang, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." The reason why people go to gangs and fraternities and sororities and worldly organizations is people are looking for love. And the Church of Christ here at Greenville Avenue ought to be the hub and the epicenter for love in Richardson, Texas. When they drive up here, they ought to find power and they ought to find love. Not only did Paul say what we need is power and love, but he said the last thing every church needs is a sound mind, good sense. Every church needs some people that just got good sense. You ain't got to graduate from a prestigious, prodigious university to have good sense. You don't have to have academic regalia hanging on your wall to have good sense. You don't have to possess sheepskins to have good sense. You may not know how to separate your verb from your predicate, but you still can have good sense. You might have dangling participles in your sentences and still have good sense. All these educated people around here now, Muddy and Big Mama, didn't have a whole lot of education, but they had enough sense to speak to you. They had enough sense to say, "Excuse me." They had enough sense to say please and thank you. You just need folk in here that's got power, love, but you need a bunch of folk in every church that just got good sense. I took my wife to Hawaii on our 25th wedding anniversary. We've been married 36 years, and she talked me into going to Hawaii. We went to the Big Island, Oahu, there in Honolulu, Waikiki Beach. And I said, "Baby, why you want to go to Hawaii?" "Well, I want to go to the beach in Hawaii." Now, we live in Florida. all this beach. where? I'm trying to figure this out. You mean to tell me we got to fly 12 hours over water to go to some beach? In Orlando, it's 30 minutes to the beach that way and 40 minutes to the beach this way. Beach everywhere. Atlantic Ocean this way. Gulf of Mexico that way. Beach everywhere. Say amen. Florida's a peninsula. We're surrounded by beach. I'm talking about no lakes. Beach. But she wanted to go. And y'all know you look like you've been married a while, brother. Happy wife, happy life. Say amen when you can, so. I mounted up with wings like an eagle. And we went over to Hawaii. And my wife, one of them kind of people, when we get where we're going, she ain't satisfied with just being there. Say amen when you can. We got to spend money to get there. And then when we get there, she want to spend money. She wants to go on excursions. I said, why don't we just lay on the beach and watch the whales jump for free? Come on now, say amen if you can. I done dropped several thousand to get here. But the hotel is on the beach. We can look out at the water. Let's just sit here and see the sun come up and the sun go down. Let's just sit here. No. We got to go to luau's and see them roasting pigs. Come on now. I wish I had a church in here. And so we went to a Polynesian luau. We went on a submarine ride. We went down to see the ancient artifacts and saw the indigenous population of Honolulu. And we went on to see Pearl Harbor. And we went to the biggest flea market in America around Aloha Stadium. And on the way back to the hotel one day from one of them excursions that got so deep in my pocket, I learned a valuable lesson that helped me the rest of my life. On the way back, we got off the bus, walked into the hotel. I saw a gentleman with some shorts on and no shoes and a half-worn shirt looking through the garbage can. And I thought he was just looking for artifacts, and I realized he was homeless. He was looking for food. And I observed something that really changed my life when it comes to just good sense. A homeless man was looking in the garbage can for food, and I saw that man find a half-eaten hamburger, a sandwich from McDonald's or Burger King. I saw him take it out of the bag, out of the garbage can. I saw him open the wrapper. It was a half-eaten hamburger in the wrapper. I saw this homeless man sit down on a bench in the park, ready to eat a hamburger he got out the garbage can. But before he ate that hamburger, I saw him bow his head and thank God for what he got out of a garbage can. And I made up my mind that day, if he can thank God for what he got out of a garbage can, I ought to sure enough be, y'all done got quiet on me. If he had enough sense to be thankful for what he dug out the garbage can, you and I ought to have enough sense to thank God for all these blessings he's given us. It just take good sense. Let me go to my seat so we can make kickoff. Listen, I got a 2-year-old grandson. I showed the Gibbs family my grandson. He's the joy of my life. He's named Kylan Wesley Skinner. He's my daughter's son. My daughter, unbeknownst to me, my daughter's the daddy's girl, but she named him. I didn't know until he was born. She named him after me. He's born 2 days after me. I'm in November. He's in November. He's got my name. We born about the same time. And right now, they're living with us. Y'all think he's spoiled? that's my boy. That's Papa man. He sits on the second row. And when it's quiet in church, sometimes he hollers, "Preach, Papa." Next time I come here, I'm going to bring him with me. Y'all ain't gonna have to say nothing. Say amen. Yes, y'all ain't gotta say nothing, but he'll sit right there. Preach, Papa. He just turned 2. Now, sometimes you just need the sense of a 2-year-old. We just had a hurricane to come through Florida. Matthew, we hadn't had one in a while. I never forget. He 2 years old. And when the hurricane came through that night, the lights went off. And we said, "Kylan, it's time to go to bed." He came to me and said, "Papa," grabbed my hand and wanted me to go with him to the back. Normally, he'll go back to the room by himself. But there wasn't no lights on. He heard the thunder. He saw the lightning. He felt the rain pelting against the house. He heard the patio doors and the shingles on the house moving. In the time of a storm, my two-year-old grandson grabbed his papa and said, come, go with me. Some of y'all ain't got the sense of a two-year-old. When you're going through something in life, don't ever try to go by yourself. If he had enough sense to come get his papa, you ought to have enough sense to take God with you wherever you go. If a two-year-old got that much sense, some of y'all just need the sense of a two-year-old. Don't ever try to go nowhere unless you take the Lord with you. That's just good sense. And that's all you need to thrive. See, money ain't the most important thing for a church to have. It's good. The nice buildings, we got a nice church in Orlando. It's contemporary. It's a nice church. It could be on Church Cribs. But the Lord ain't coming back for the building. He's coming back for the people. If you want to keep thriving, and I'm so proud of this church, I idolize your preacher and this church and your leadership. But for you to keep thriving, there's three things you ought to possess: power, love, and just sound good everyday sense. Rational, amen. Spiritual, godly decisions. Operating in his power and by his love. Come here tonight if you desire to be a possessor of what Paul said that God has given Timothy and Titus and subsequently de facto given us. God has not given us, Paul said, you read it, not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Come here now if you desire to possess that. It'll bless your life, and it'll bless this church. Brother Leonard, I'm struggling with love. Some of y'all looking at me like Tina Turner. What's love got to do with it? I know why she said that. She was married to Ike. But you gotta love, because that's the essence of what the gospel is. For God so loved the world. That's what the God that inculcates the gospel. That's codified law in the Bible. God so loved the world. And if God can love the world, that means he loves Osama bin Laden. That means he loved ISIS. That means he loved Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda. He loves the Ku Klux Klan. God loved Donald Trump. Say amen when you can. And if God can love the world, Christians sure enough ought to love each other. Hear about his death. That's all you got to do. You got to hear about his vicarious, ignominious death. Died for sinners like you and I. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent. Turn from your ways of sin, degradation, and iniquity. Open your mouth. Verbalize. Audibilize. Confess that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Join him in baptism. That's where your sins are remitted, eradicated, and washed away. Aren't y'all glad that God will wash them away now? And he'll put them in the sea of forgiveness. But men, after God put your sins in the sea of forgiveness, some people got a fishing pole. They'll go and try to get them again and bring them up. But I'm so glad that God writes with a pencil and not a pen. So whatever you've done, God will erase it off of your record. Would you come here tonight? If you need to be baptized, you ought to come. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, and you've sinned and veered to the right or the left, you can repent tonight. If you're here tonight, already a member of the church, you desire prayer for yourself, a bequeath prayer for another, I beg, I beseech, I admonish, I exhort you to come. Do it right now while we stand and while we sing.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need. Restored, you know that my heart is weary. Please help me, dear Lord.